While the publishing world learns to live with the idea that ebooks may be good for business after all, a federal district court judge finds there is no such thing as a used ebook. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book. Every week on Friday, we turn to Andrew Albany, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, to hear the latest word on news and views in book publishing. Hello, Andrew. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, Chris. Great to be here as always.
Well, we enjoy chatting with you, and we've got a pretty consistent theme here in Beyond the Book when we talk to you every week, and that is, once again, evidence that ebooks are good and profitable for the book business. But we've also got word from the courts in the form of the Redigi decision that digital is raising other tough questions. So let's start off with the good news.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. Let's start off with the good news. I think that's always good policy. So the good stuff first. To quote OrBooks founder John Oakes, ebooks are God's gift to publishing. That gem was delivered to our Craig Morgan Teicher following a PW panel at last month's AWP meeting in Boston. The panel was on ebooks and small literary publishers, and it featured, in addition to Oakes, Dennis Johnson from Melville House, Fiona McCrae from Grey Wolf, and Amelia Bentley from Copper Canyon. So the piece in Monday's edition is a great read. It's a feature that focuses on a broad range of questions and issues, including whether an ebook is a digital equivalent to a print book or whether it's something else, something more, and also a general skepticism about the retailer and the tech companies that are now dominating the digital space. You know, the Amazons and the Apples and the Googles, the usual suspects we talk about so often on this podcast. But the article also touches on the way ebooks are opening up new avenues of art and not just commerce, and how the underlying promise of ebooks is to readers, how much underlying promise there is to ebook readers. And it's not all just about the bottom line for these guys. So it's really an excellent and timely piece on the opportunities that digital offers small presses. And to go back to John Oakes, of whom I'm a big fan, I'll share the rest of his divine praise for the digital format. I don't see how you can't make money on ebooks, he says in the piece, and I'll leave it at there. How's that for a teaser?
Well, quite a teaser. I think I better get into the ebook business. But, you know, things aren't as easy as all of that. On the thornier side of digital, we have a decision in a first sale case, a first sale related, of course, to copyright, with the Boston-based Redigi being denied the right to resell digital files. There are implications there for ebooks, of course, and it suggests all of it that we're a long way from a used market for digital. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And this week, the big news was a major ruling out of New York, where federal judge Richard Sullivan forcefully rejected an attempt by Boston-based Redigi to apply the right of first sale, the doctrine of first sale, I should say, to digital. You know, just a few weeks ago, publishers, you'll remember, were bemoaning the Supreme Court ruling in Kurtzsang versus Wiley. You know, publishers claimed that that decision was going to pave the way for cheaper foreign editions of print textbooks to flood their way back into America. But this ruling, also on first sale, is kind of the one they truly, really wanted to see. After all, if you look at the adoption of iPads in schools, you'll quickly conclude that digital is really the future of textbooks. And with this ruling, if it stands up on appeal, the publishers of digital textbooks can now basically be rid of a thorn in their side, the used textbook market. So first off, a little background for people who may not be familiar with Redigi. Redigi is a fairly simple tool for users who want to sell off their old iTunes tracks. Those who want to sort of get rid of all these old songs clogging up their digital hard drive can go to Redigi and upload their tracks. Redigi then places them for sale, and you know, once they're sold, the service wipes the files from the seller's computer and gives the access to the buyer. Redigi keeps a 20% commission for the service, and notably, the company cuts in the copyright holder. At least that's its plan. Although nothing in first sale compels it to do so for reselling an item, its plan would give copyright owners 20% of the resale. So Redigi argued that its service fulfilled the intent of first sale because it was simply migrating the track from one user to another. But Judge Sullivan and his ruling never got past the fact that the service created new copies. Even though the service destroyed the old track on the old owner's computer, that didn't matter to him. Under copyright law, the new tracks were unauthorized, and nothing in first sale permitted the creation of new copies. Game, set, match. So, you know, a few observations about this. Publishers and really most of the commenters on the PW site seem to really hail this decision as a big win. But it isn't. At least I don't think it is, not at this point, because in reality, all it does is further point to how messy copyright has become in the digital age, something that we talk about seemingly, you know, every week. Now, I'm not saying that Sullivan erred in his decision. You know, perhaps the statute as it is written is inadequate for the question that Redigi was putting to the court. But what I'm saying is that the problem, as it's perceived by publishers, has not been solved by this ruling. So, begs the question, what's the problem? Well, for one, I think the idea of a used digital file is pretty silly. It just is really ill-fitting for the digital world, period. But the problem the case illustrates is that the market for access to digital content is really pretty different from the market the legacy content providers, you know, record labels and publishers are seeking to impose. And I think publishers would be wise to recognize that while Redigi might have been dubbed illegal as it's currently constituted, there really is a market void that it filled. And if publishers and other content companies don't step up in the wake of Redigi being shut down and find a way to fill that void, its users will. You know, on the PW site, our friend and literary agent Robert Gottlieb had commented on the site something to the effect of how music sharing sites were forced to, you know, respect the copyright holder and change their business models. And literally, I laughed out loud, not laughing at Robert, but sort of, you know, nervously laughed when I read that because, you know, yeah, that's exactly what happened, right? Napster and Grokster and LimeWire were shut down. That part's true. And they came back in some defanged commercial ventures, but, you know, file sharing has not diminished at all. And the reality is that if you can't find a song or a file for free that you want on the internet, you know, off the internet, I know you're in deep trouble. You know, so my personal takeaway from this ruling is, you know, don't be fooled that this, you know, helps the marketplace in any significant way. And I would hope that publishers and record labels would really pay attention to what Redigi's users wanted out of the service, which was a convenient, easy, and legal way to pay for content that they wanted and only for the time that they wanted it. And one parting thought that I'll leave you with, too, and this perhaps may be the most important takeaway, you know, both Apple and Amazon have either gotten patents approved or have patents pending for digital resale mechanisms. Now, does anyone believe that if iTunes and the iTunes Store or the Kindle Store really wants to offer digital resale as part of their retail terms, that they don't have the muscle to jam it into their license agreements? You know, if so, I just point you back to the history the publishers have with Amazon.
Indeed. I mean, you can say no to Amazon, but then you can just dry up and blow away, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, you've got some commentary from someone we enjoy hearing from, James Grimmelman, PW's contributing editor for legal affairs, and he makes some points about the legal issues and where we may be headed.
Yeah, James has a really great piece on the PW website now, and I'm going to be following up a little bit on it in Monday's issue about the Redigi case. But in his great piece, Grimlin uses a Star Trek analogy, which I think is pretty apt and very funny. But he points out a few things. You know, the first is that the case shows us that maybe we're focusing on the wrong questions. You know, getting away from the more pragmatic questions of real world consequences that ought to drive copyright policy. You know, James writes that, you know, whether copy A is the same as copy B, which is what Richard Sullivan and his decision in Redigi focused on, and what sense is this the same or different, is not a question that anyone ought to care about, James writes. Authors, publishers, readers, libraries, everyone with a stake in the copyright system should care about who gets access to books and on what terms. All of the other technological details, you know, how a resale is conducted, all of that stuff ought to be cute irrelevances, he notes, once the basic questions are answered. And those basic questions really should be who gets to read and who gets paid. So if, you know, our listeners haven't yet had a chance to read James's article, especially if they're Star Trek fans, they should go back to the PW website and check that out. And James also raises the fair use question. Now, in the Redigi case, Judge Sullivan did offer a fair use analysis, but it was pretty cursory because he looked at the question, the fair use question, from Redigi's point of view rather than from Redigi's users. So you can expect that that's going to be something that's going to be raised on appeal. Perhaps Redigi does not survive on its first sale argument, but, you know, we'll see if the fair use case at least gives it a new life in the Court of Appeals.
Well, indeed, and if it's fair use that's going to save anybody, it's going to do it one at a time, because fair use cases are always individual cases. So any pronouncement on one particular case doesn't lead us to conclusions any further than that.
That's very true. And, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, the fair use things necessarily stack up in favor of Redigi, but I do think it's important that the fair use analysis be applied to Redigi's users and not just the service itself. Even if it doesn't end up, you know, validating the service, I still think that's a useful analysis to have.
Indeed. And we'll take a closer look at James Grumman's piece. And we appreciate chatting, as we always do, every Friday with Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.